Right, thank you to all those who've given me their names for the testimonies. So what we're going to do, we'll go through all the people who give me their names, and then we'll see what the time is, and then see if we can open it up to everyone else. So I'll go first, somebody has to, and then Jenny, you're next, then Jackie, and then Sylvia. So mine's an experience I had at the One event a few years ago that's now called Awaken. It was Grapevine, then it was One event, and now it's Awaken. It was during one of the evening worship sessions, which is normally about an hour and a half. We had the normal session, everything finished. We lingered for a few minutes, as we always do. And then right at the end of the big top, the congregation started singing one of the hymns again that we'd been singing. And it gradually moved across the whole thing, so then the whole big top was singing the same hymn. And then after a couple of minutes, the band had to get back on stage, put their instruments up, and then started playing again. We were all having a good time, and then the atmosphere changed. The Holy Spirit came. It was so real, you could reach out and touch it, so thick that you could almost taste it. And we carried on worshipping and praising, and then there was a time of testimony. We had prophecies, we had healings, we had words of knowledge, and the service went on for an extra 45 minutes. And nearly everybody stayed. There was barely a dry eye in the place afterwards. And it didn't feel like 45 minutes at all, more like felt like 10 minutes. So that's just one of the event things I experienced at the One event. And there was one lady there. She'd been in a wheelchair, completely unable to walk for decades. She came, attended that service, was prayed for, woke up the next morning, never needed a wheelchair again. She was running all the way around the site and everything. So that's my testimony. Jenny, do you want to do yours next?
Thank you. I feel really blessed. I was brought up with prayer being part of my everyday life in my family. And there's so many answers to prayer I could share. And it's great to share them with each other. Except sometimes I think it can be quite hard. I'll admit at times I've sat in the congregation, listened to the miracles that God performs, which I've seen, I believe. And sometimes I've sat and wondered why he's not listening or seemingly answering my prayer. I know God can and does answer prayers in the most amazing ways, and this can sometimes make it harder for us when it seems like our prayer is not being heard. I want to, if I can, rewind the clock 20 years. Some of you are still here. I joined Eastgate as I'd just moved to Louth, young 20-something, newly married. My husband was a teacher, many of you will remember him. I was a nurse, and I'd married my childhood sweetheart. From the age of 14, I'd been with him. We had a lovely home, good jobs. Finley came along, which many of you know, he's 17 now, and not long after, Madeline. Around the time I had Maddie, my father-in-law was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And a difficult 8 months, he passed away. I was really busy with a baby and a toddler, and my husband found it understandably difficult to deal with. And I think it's fair to say things at home were not very easy. I went back to work 2 nights a week as a nurse. He showed me little, if any, interest, or to the children. His comments were increasingly hurtful, to say the least, and it reached a point. He actually told me he wished he'd never married me and had not had children. I was devastated, but thought he'd eventually sort himself out. He did his own thing. I threw myself into being a mum and keeping busy and avoiding confrontations, and the atmosphere at home was not pleasant. I reached a point after about 2 years, I prayed, I cried to God. I didn't want my home environment as it was. I didn't want my children growing up in this environment, and it's not how I envisaged marriage or the father figure for my kids. Now, I'm not sure if any of you have ever prayed and then maybe suggested to God the answer you want, but at this point I did, because I mean, God can do anything, right? So I had this vision my husband would see the error of his ways. He was going to come back, say, I've been such an idiot, and it would all be turned round. My marriage would be sorted. He'd be the dad for the kids I'd always wanted. He could sort, God could sort this. I'd seen him sort out much worse. He could sort this out. So be patient and keep praying, which is what I did. Around 6 months later, my husband walked out, leaving me with a 2- and a 4-year-old. I was absolutely crushed, but I trusted God. He was bigger than my problems. He would sort it out. 6 weeks later, it came to light that my husband had been having an affair for quite some time. She had also left her husband. Still, I thought, God can sort this. He sorted it before. So I told him, end the affair, we'll work on our marriage. He refused. He disappeared for weeks at a time. His behaviour was irrational and unacceptable, to put it mildly. I thought maybe he was having a breakdown, and I probably wasn't far off at this point either. Very effective diet for anyone who's been there. 2 stone down, I think, at this point. Anyway, after about 4 months, I took the very difficult decision to speak to a solicitor to start divorce proceedings. I didn't want to, and I told my husband this. I begged him to sort things out so it didn't get to that. He didn't. His behaviour got worse. I had death threats, texts were at times constant, emotional manipulation, locks were changed, police were involved on more than one occasion. I finally, you may think, came to the realisation that I no longer wanted to be married. A difficult decision to reach. However, I cannot describe the peace I felt once inside I'd made this decision, despite my life continuing like some sort of weird episode of EastEnders at times. I never once felt alone. My family and the church surrounded me and the children with prayers, meals, beds to sleep in, flowers, bubble bath, texts just to let me know they were thinking and praying for me. I came through my divorce financially and mentally exhausted, but spiritually stronger. I didn't get the answer to prayer that I thought I wanted. Although I must stress, I really don't think God wants marriages to break down, but I don't believe he wants us to be in damaging relationships, and he wants us to have life and life in all its fullness. I don't know what some of your prayers are today. You may not get the answer you're looking for. In fact, you may never know or understand the answer. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 say this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Just to finish, throughout this ordeal, Aud was praying someone would come into my life to love me and love the children. Helen introduced me to a friend. Needless to say, next month I celebrate 9 years of marriage to Simon, who many of you know. I didn't get to 9 years last time. Now, if he does listen to this, just in case, he's by no means perfect. But I am quite certain he loves me and he loves the children. And I am so thankful for everyone who prayed him into my life and continue to pray for me and my family. Thank you.
Morning. 4 years ago, I was an alcoholic, and I had been for quite a number of years. There didn't seem to be any closure at all. It got worse and worse. I moved to Louth in 2018 to live with my daughter Hannah, and it got worse, if that is possible. I was totally and totally out of control. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. My life had gone. It was sunk. It's an awful disease. It's cruel. It robs you of your dignity, turns you into a liar and a cheat. And I wanted to come back to church, and Jesus knew that. I couldn't come back as I was. I was a mess. I was a disgrace. I didn't like myself either. And then there was a miracle, and Jesus spoke to me and said, "You won't drink anymore." And I didn't. It stopped that day. There and then. I know it's hard to believe, but it happened. It truly happened. And I am cured of the disease. I am not a recovering alcoholic. I have been cured by Jesus. And that's a lot to take in, but it changed my life, and I have a life, a happy life. I have all you lot. Thank you for being there for me. Audrey, Jenny, thank you so much. Hannah, thank you for putting up with me, my love. And Ray and Mandy for being my super friends. Thank you for listening.
It makes me feel like, how can I follow them lot? What I'm going to do today is honour, if that's the right way of pronunciation, the children's workers, because if it hadn't been for children's workers when I was 8, I wouldn't be here today, because my family would rather I was at the pub with them. And I was described as the black sheep of the family. No, the white sheep of the family, because I was Holy Joe. I lived in a bombed out street in the East End of London as a child till I got married. The lady next door took all our scruffy kids to Sunday school. Oh, it was amazing. There was often tea parties as well. They were all so kind, friendly and loving. We had this special celebration. We all took part in a play about Jesus, how he was our friend, and did we want to be Jesus' friend forever? I was 8 years old, so I said, yes, I did. It felt like it was too good to be true. How could Jesus want me? He didn't hit you or tell you was no good or no hope, like what was happening to me. The people there taught us how to pray and read the Bible to Jesus. When I was 14, I met John. Then when we was 19, we got married. John joined the police, so we moved house and church. We had 2 children. I wanted a lot of children, but we only had 2. We went to different activities with all the other families at the church. I was always laughing and giggling with the children, chatting and mucking about, just like the kids were. The first time God spoke to me through the Bible, we were reading Bible notes as well with the Bible. A few days we were reading Proverbs chapter 9. It said, stop fooling around and get wisdom. I didn't know it was for me, so I asked our vicar and his wife, and they said God would give me wisdom. Oh, it couldn't be me, as I was a dumb blonde, no good and no hope. But Jesus had positive ideas for me. Now, skipping a whole lot of my life testimony, he promised me the Holy Spirit all my life. And to tell you how John retired from the police, how amazing we got to Lincolnshire, and how we had more children, would take too long, as Chris said. I have always been glad over the years for the Holy Spirit wisdom, and one day, maybe, I'll tell you all about it.
I can tell you about my whole life, which has been a wonderful blessing from Jesus. But I'll tell you about one part of it that I think you need to hear. I was brought up in a Christian family. My dad was church treasurer for years, so that's why I'm treasurer. And there wasn't one time that I didn't believe in God, because I was taught that and I saw it at home. But there was one day that I was challenged by somebody speaking in church. And he said, do you know God? And I thought, yeah, I'm a Christian. But do you know my Jesus? And he said, you are not a Christian unless you know Jesus. You have got to make that step yourself. Because you were brought up in a Christian family doesn't mean you are my follower. So I had to make that decision, and I said, Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. And I've followed him ever since.
I will just make it brief. I have a lot to say, but I'll just say two of the most recent ones. Early last month, I lost a friend that I speak to almost every day. I spoke to her like past 12 in the midday, and I was watching Arsenal match, and I got a call from a friend that she's dead. I'm like, no, what do you mean? I just spoke to her some couple of hours ago, and we were exchanging text messages. She said, yes. I said, no, that can't be true. I was just shocked, like I had goose pimples all over my body. I said I was going to call in the morning to be sure you guys are telling me the truth. And I called in the morning. They said it was confirmed. She's going to be with the Lord. That changed my life. I've never been in that kind of shock. I went to the GP, checked my blood pressure. They said it was just a little bit high, probably because I was tense. The past 2 weeks from then, I couldn't sleep. I was restless, I was in fear. I kept just hearing like death feelings all over me because I was like, that means anyone can just leave in a minute. So 2 weeks after that, I just went on my bed. I said to God, listen, God, this is it. It's obvious you are the only one that can bring peace to my life. I've done everything I could do. The GP has tried exercising to take my mind off it. I've done all of that. I just don't seem to be at peace. I'm living in fear. I read Deuteronomy 34:7 constantly. I kept saying, God, Moses was 120 years old and above. I kept, you know, something in me, after I spoke to my sister, she said, read Psalm 4, verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone will make me dwell in safety. I read that verse and I said to God, this is it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I need to sleep tonight. I need you to make me sleep. Wrap me around your arms. I want to go to bed because I haven't slept in weeks. Like, I'm just restless. The next minute, I saw myself awake at past 8 a.m. in the morning. Like, I slept like a baby, like I've never slept all throughout that period. I woke up, I started telling everybody in the house. I told my partner, like, God is real. Like, Jesus is real. Like, I've never experienced this peace. I just told him, just do it. I opened my window and said, listen, fear, this is the last time you're coming to this home. Get behind me. Let me live my normal life. And this was it. From then till now, I've just gotten myself back. And the second one happened because on my WhatsApp story, I'm always posting, God is the greatest. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. This is what I post every morning. Once I wake up, I post it on my story. God is the greatest. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I have a friend who is always saying, oh, Amarachi, please, if God is this, why hasn't he done this for me? Why? I said, listen, Uju, I'm telling you my life, literally all my life is a testimony. God is the greatest. On Friday, she texted me. She said, Friday, she sent me a text. She said, you know, you always write this thing, God is the greatest, and I never believed you. Guess what? Just 2 weeks, I have gone to church. My life has changed. I have seen peace. I was on the train, and I said to her, this is the best testimony I've had in my life, because I've told God, I want to just be a reflection of Christ. I want people to see me and believe that there is God. So my friend texted me to say, oh, what you say about Christ, I have tried it, and I've experienced peace. It's the best feeling I've had. I'm just testifying of his goodness. Thank you.
Just a very quick one, yes.
I'd just like to tell you all, when I first came to Eastgate Union, I was actually seeing a counsellor for the rubbish in life, you know, the stuff you want to throw away. And I came to Eastgate Union And it was the most amazing feeling of love in this place. And after I'd been for a couple of weeks, the Holy Spirit, when it enters you, people can see it. They can see the change in you. And I went to see this counsellor, and she said, "What has happened in your life since I saw you last?" She said, "You have completely changed." And I just said, "The Lord Jesus is with me." And that shows that you carry him with you and you can give him to other people and still have him yourself. And people can see it. They can see it in you. Thank you.
Thank you all. As Jenny alluded to in her testimony, it's great to share testimonies, but when we're going through it, when we're waiting for our own answer prayer, it can be really, really difficult, especially hearing other people talk about how they've had their answers to prayer. So this song, it's called Do It Again, and it's a both declaration of how good God is, but also it's a comfort for those who are still waiting to receive their miracle.